Hello, this is Lori Richards with this week's edition of the Dearborn County Register. The top story, school corporation defends call to bar student from playing football, by Joe Awad. The Lawrenceburg Community School Corporation has responded to a legal challenge claiming it is completely within its rights to deny a student athlete from playing in more than half of the varsity regular season football games for possessing a vape pipe. Defended by attorneys Jeff Stratman and Richard A. Butler, the student identified as L.H., age 17, in a declaratory judgment complaint, wants Dearborn Superior Court 1 Judge John Cleary to enjoin the corporation from preventing him from playing in 55.55% or 5 regular season football games. The motion was filed Tuesday, September 3rd. LCSC filed a motion Friday, September 6th, to deny the injunction. The student claims he did not violate the policy because he did not use the vape pipe. The student, by his next friends, AG and DJG, claims the corporation violated its own written discipline rules by suspending him from game playing time. LCSC attorney Del Weldon argues the student violated the policy because he possessed the pipe on school grounds. The complaint puts at issue one narrow legal question, whether the school corporation violated its written discipline rules by suspending LH from participating in 55.55% of regular season football games for possessing a vape pipe, says the student's complaint. LH never violated corporation rules until May 2019, according to the complaint, which admits a student brought the pipe to school but never used it. He was not tested at the time. The corporation did not test him for substances prohibited by its written disciplinary rules in May. But then Assistant Principal Steve Johnson informed LH's next of friends that LH tested negative for substances prohibited by the policy when tested June 14th, according to the complaint. The student's lawyers claim the written rules call for punishing students for possession of alcohol and tobacco, including electronic cigarettes and vapor pens, and drugs differently than it does the use as determined by a positive test. The school corporation is violating their own written discipline rules by prohibiting LH from participating in regular season football games, asserts the complaint. In addition, the school corporation is further violating their written discipline rules by prohibiting LH from participating in more games than the rules would require if the rules prohibited LH from participating in regular season football games. The school corporation, however, claims the student handbook prohibits possession of vapor pens and cites pages 42 and 43. Illegal possession of or use of alcohol, tobacco, which includes electronic cigarettes and vapor pens, drugs or positive results from random drug testing program. First violation, the student shall be put on probation for 365 days, one calendar year, from the day that the violation is verified. The student may resume contests or games after serving 50% suspension of regular season contests or games from that date that the positive test is received. Moreover, the corporation argues that the state statute clearly allows it limited judicial review, and to issue injunctive relief would circumvent the legislature's intent. LCSC has fully complied with the statutes regarding discipline, and injunctive relief is not warranted in these circumstances, claims the corporation. The student wants the judge to declare he should receive 365 days of probation and rule the policy prohibits a student from participating in 50% of regular season games if the student tests positive for substance abuse. LH wants the judge to issue a temporary restraining order against the corporation's decision so now he can play ball. The varsity team will play its third regular season game Friday, September 13th. Our next story. Legal opinion about city utility leads to Lawrenceburg political upheaval. It should be no surprise to anyone that the politics centering around Lawrenceburg Utility Director Olin Clausen and City Attorney Del Weldon, in conjunction with Mayor Kelly Malon, is heating up as the municipal election approaches. I have written several stories straight up, but the dots don't connect in many ways for others. They require perspective. Let's start with basic political facts, which I'm sure some will dispute. Malon and Weldon want Clausen out. It's partly over power and partly over Clausen's ability to churn up inordinate indignation. They claim he doesn't play by the rules. Clausen wants Malon defeated because he sees him as a liability to effectively getting his job done, including the tough task of signing on customers to the city's new internet fiber optic system. The Malon-Weldon team is supported by Clerk Treasurer Richard Richardson and, of late, Councilman Tony Abbott. Richardson wants LMU to submit more of its financial information, and Abbott is fed up with Clausen's grab for power as he sees it. In Abbott's words, give him an inch and he takes 10. Clausen's predominant and vocal supporter is Councilman and Conservancy District Supervisor Paul Seymour Jr. In Seymour's words, I'm behind Mr. Clausen. I'll stand by him. I'm about work. And I don't think it's fair to say the administration and utility director are at odds. Councilman Mel Davis, former utility director, primarily sticks with Clausen. Councilman Aaron Cook, who was part of the former council that hired Clausen, votes strategically, but often supports Abbott when it comes to their ideas of making Clausen toe the line. Councilman Randy Abner occasionally weighs in on the debates that have gone south. I wrote about the original story about Abbott contending that Clausen did not have permission to start construction on the $80,000 tent at the fairgrounds for the upcoming Lineman Rodeo and, as Clausen says, future events. Clausen contends he had permission. That came before the firestorm over Weldon's legal opinion regarding a $1,327,987 LMU invoice to the city and the state of the utilities cash reserves. I quoted them word for word in the Tuesday, September 3rd Journal Press. You decide. Emergency Board of Works and Parks and Playground meetings were called for Friday, September 6th, and the tent was approved after the fact. The city's utility board also approved it after the fact. It was more than half constructed by the Tuesday, September 3rd council meeting, and it would have been foolish not to approve it. The superficial issue is that permission was required to put the tent on city-owned land, property not owned by the utility. The substantive and political issue is that Clausen pushed ahead with the project. The tent story was a prelude to Weldon's declaration that LMU's $1,327,987 invoice for utility work so that a pole could be removed from 4th and Front Streets cannot be legally paid. It also was a prelude to the bombshell Weldon dropped in his legal opinion about the utility's cash balance. Weldon flatly states, in his opinion to City Council, that the expenditure was not voted on, never appropriated, never budgeted, and never bid. He says all those steps are required by law. The work, as Weldon notes, was discussed at two utility board meetings. The $1,327,987 obviously was not budgeted or appropriated, but Clausen contends he billed the city fairly and according to cost, and according to law, and it cost what it cost. Clausen voiced from the onset that it was a civil city job that would be expensive. He wanted no part of it, and drew the distinction as he sees it between LMU's responsibilities and the city proper's responsibilities. Weldon's legal opinion is just that, a legal opinion. No more, contends Clausen, whose attorneys dispute the opinion. It gets further into the weeds because Weldon's opinion goes beyond the cost and challenges the specific items Clausen billed. There are several hot buttons, one that might inflict burns. One way or the other is Clausen's billing, the city, $2,100 for personal overtime. Clausen says that figure is an accounting practice and the money goes back into the utility because Clausen is salaried, and there is no way to determine if he worked overtime because he does not punch a clock. Another sticky wicket is that Weldon contends Clausen's administrative fees are over the top at 40%. Richardson agrees with Weldon, but Clausen contends that is common practice in his industry. But the issue that rankles the mayor most is that Clausen charged $147,465 to recover health benefit charges. Milan and Weldon stand fast that the cost is already paid by the city through what is called the Municipal Development Fund, comprised of casino income. Take a look at the email that Pillar Law Group, LLP, which represents the city, received from the SBOA, and again, draw your own conclusions. And here it is. From SBOA Cities, Towns, sent Tuesday, September 3rd, 2019, 7:44 a.m. Subject, utility reimbursements. I spoke briefly with Richardson, at the IDEA Summit in French Lick last week. He asked about having a meeting with SBOA, and part of the reason may have involved the situation. On the surface, and without reviewing any specific documentation related to the project, we aren't aware of a statutory authority for the utility to charge the city in the manner you describe. Our recommendation would be to get the written legal opinion from an attorney as how the city could or should proceed. Todd Caldwell, CFE, Director of Audit Services, Indiana State Board of Accounts. At the Friday meeting, the mayor did not allow Clausen's attorney, Dave McGimsey, to address Weldon's report. The mayor said it must wait until the next Utility Service Board meeting, but don't be surprised if it breaks through at the Monday, September 16th council meeting. Still, here is a partial transcript. Of what the attorney said to the board, and then some councilmen left the room. I transcribed them. To the board, this is about transparency. It is about what was said the other night. Weldon's legal opinion, the longer it stays out there, the less transparent it is. This community deserves to know some answers. After some councilmen left, this legal opinion does not cite a single statute. It does not cite a single case. It doesn't cite a single administrative rule or regulation or policy. Weldon told me he doubts the SBOA will get involved, but nevertheless will submit his opinion to the agency. I'm not sure about SBOA involvement. It may have no choice but to get involved. Still, that doesn't necessarily mean anything. Time will tell. Weldon reiterated a few days later, the city and utility are in a struggle. The entities must work out, but stressed the city will not pay the LMU invoice as it stands. Now the rubber meets the road when Weldon's opinion goes beyond the poll controversy. He states that during the analysis of the LMU invoice, it became important to take a look at the current state of LMU finances and their cash position. He said, our reports indicate that LMU had a cash balance of $688,000 at the end of July, down from $10.1 million in January 2018. He said the city has been cautioned that having such a low cash balance is not recommended for a utility. He goes on to say the money likely has been spent on the fiber utility based on an audit from the Reedy Financial Group and Umbaugh, now Baker Tilly. He goes on to say we will continue to investigate this issue and other issues we have uncovered with the finances of LMU. It is concerning that this project, the tent construction, the rodeo, and the fiber internet project, all seem to share in common a general lack of official voting, budgeting, or reporting on spending. This should also be investigated further. Clausen counters the utility has been sitting on too much cash, and that part of his responsibility is to improve Lawrenceburg residents' standard of living. He admits the fiber project has taken longer than expected, but points out that much of the work has been done in-house. Clausen contends the reserve is healthy and that he had the blessing of council and the mayor to take on the challenge. The saga goes much deeper, but this is where it ends today. Keep in mind, however, no one is being hit by stray bullets. Careful aim is the name of his game. And this was written by Joe Awad, who is managing editor of the Registered Publications. And then it continues with the documents. This is an impromptu press release given by Lawrenceburg Utility Director Olin Clausen's attorney, Dave McGimsey, of Bingham, Greenbaum, and Dahl Law Firm. And I'll read a few of these. The legal opinion does not cite a single statute. It does not cite a single case. It doesn't cite a single administrative rule, regulation, or policy. It's just smoke and mirrors designed for one purpose and one purpose only, and that is to discredit the utility. There is one allegation that Weldon talked to you about, a State Board of Accounts member. That member is not identified. The State Board of Accounts did not talk to the utility. The State Board of Accounts did not talk to the USB, or Utility Service Board. The State Board of Accounts did not talk to any council members. So really, what information is the city working off of here, working off one-sided information? He didn't do any investigation. That is not how the State Board of Accounts works. They don't come out if someone calls them and their opinion. So take that with a grain of salt on the unidentified State Board of Accounts person that Mr. Weldon contacted. And I'm sure there will be more to this story in the weeks to come. Tree dedicated in memory of reporter. And this was written by Denise Freitag Burdett. An ivory silk Japanese lilac tree from Durban Nursery was dedicated in the memory of Registered Publications reporter Chandra L. Mattingly during a ceremony held outside Aurora City Hall Monday, September 9th. Mattingly, who covered both Aurora and many other areas in Dearborn and Ohio counties for 30 years, passed away last month after a 12-year battle with cancer. Mattingly was known for her kindness, integrity, and love of nature by the many people who had the chance to meet her through the years. Aurora Councilman Mark Drury gave a speech thanking Mattingly for her years of service to the community, mentioning a column she wrote about the blessings in her life amid her health struggles. The others spoke during the dedication. A video of the ceremony will be posted soon at www.thedcregister.com. The dedication was arranged through the city with the guidance of Aurora City Manager Guinevere Emery. And in the photo, The family of Chandra L. Mattingly was on hand for the dedication in her memory outside City Hall Monday, September 9th. In the picture are her son Nate, daughter Cynthia, and her husband Bob Mattingly. And then the plaque reads, in honor of Chandra Mattingly, reporter for the Dearborn County Register publications, for her dedicated efforts in supporting the city of Aurora's historic path, 2254-8-1819. LST helps Aurora celebrate 200 years by Mark Emerill. Aurora will continue its bicentennial celebration with one weekend in September this weekend. It begins on Friday, September 13th with the LST-325 landing ship tank on display at Ferry Landing and 3rd Street. The ship will be open for tours every day from Friday to Monday, September 16th. Tours will open daily from 9 a.m. to 5:30 p.m. and cost for a tour is $10 for age 18 and over, and $5 for ages 6 through 17, and free for ages 5 and under. Visitors will get a glimpse into the nation's wartime history when the LST-325, a World War II-era Navy ship, visits the city. It is a memorial ship that honors former LST military vessels. The LST, which stands for Landing Ship Tank, is an amphibious vessel designed to land battle-ready tanks, troops, and supplies directly onto enemy shores. She weighs 4,080 tons and is 328 feet long and 50 feet wide. Ships of this type proved to be enormously useful during times of war and peace. His particular LST was originally known as the LST-325 during World War II. The USS LST-325 is the last remaining fully functioning LST in the country. It served in World War II, the Korean War, the Vietnam War, in Arctic operations, and in the 1950s moved on to be of service in the Greek Navy. In 2000, it was brought back to the United States, where it is now docked for 11 months of the year in Evansville, Indiana. Along with the tours, there will be a docking port info, veterans dedication, ship facts and figures, and videos. The LST visit is made possible by the City of Aurora, the Dearborn County Convention Visitor and Tourism Bureau, and the Lesko Park Veterans Committee. They received a $5,000 grant award from the Civista Charitable Foundation for the USS LST-325 visit. But that is not the only event happening over the weekend. On Friday, September 13th, a fall paint party will be at Great Crescent Brewery, 315 Importing Street, from 6:30 to 10:30 p.m. Cost is $40 and RSVP to Southeast Indiana Board of Realtors, 218 4th Street. The party benefits Safe Passage Incorporated. The final summer outdoor movie, Hotel Transylvania 3, presented by the Aurora Lions Club, will be shown in the Main Street parking lot about 9 p.m. There will be free admission and free popcorn. Hot dogs, hamburgers, and drinks will be available for purchase. Saturday is a full day of activities for all ages. You can celebrate Aurora at 9 a.m. with coffee and donuts at the depot at 510 2nd Street. From 10 a.m. to 2 p.m., there will be horse-drawn trolley tours through downtown with information on the landmarks in town. From 2 p.m. to 4 p.m. at the Southeast Indiana Art Guild, they will show off Aurora artists with a display and reception. Then at 4 p.m., Roy Lambert will portray Dr. Jacob Ebersole at the Aurora High School Museum at 232 Main Street. Ebersole was a well-known Cincinnati surgeon, born May 15, 1820, near Eaton in Preble County, Ohio. After he graduated from the University of New York, he began medical practice in Aurora, where he remained for 20 years. The doctor served during the Civil War and was at the Battle of Gettysburg. Lambert, an Aurora historian and Aurora Public Library District employee, has portrayed Ebersole during several talk about Aurora events, welcoming bus tours at City Hall as well as at the Franklin County Public Library District's Ed Baker Civil War Study Room. A Stitch in Time Tea will be at 1 p.m. at Hill Forest Victorian House Museum. It is a three-course tea, quilt program, and exhibit. For reservations, call 812-926-0087 or go to www.hillforest.org. The next day, Sunday, September 15th, will be a Veterans Ceremony beginning at 1:30 p.m., consisting of patriotic songs, guest speakers, and will be concluded with a B-25 flyover. The schedule, which is subject to change, is Linda Recton School of Voice performing, March of Veterans led by Mark Morton playing bagpipes, Presentation of Colors and National Anthem, Firing of Three Volley by the Korean War Veterans Association, Color Guard, Taps played by Paul Elliott in memory of his father Nelson Elliott, National Anthem sung by Linda Recton, Major Donnie Hastings Jr. welcoming the LST captain and presentation of the key to the city of Aurora, Introduction of P.G. Gentrop by Mayor Hastings, Introduction of guest speaker John Popovich, WCPO Channel 9 sportscaster, Introduction of Nick Ulrich, Purple Heart and Bronze Star recipient from Vietnam War, Salute to Armed Forces by Linda Recton School of Voice, Thank You to All by Charlotte Hastings, Introduction of State Rep Randy Fry, Conclusion of Cincinnati of Ceremony with Linda Recton leading all singing on God Bless America, a B-25 flyover and firing of ship's cannon, and live music by My Brother's Keeper from 4 to 6:30 p.m., DJ Adkins and Dave Lewis from 7 to 9 p.m. Also on Sunday, BB Riverboat will give three different cruises. A sightseeing cruise will be from 3 to 4, an evening dinner cruise from 7:30 to 10 p.m., and an evening sightseeing cruise from 7:30 to 10 p.m. The evening will end with fireworks. There's a cost for cruises. For reservations, call 855-675-2617. And on Monday, September 16th, the LST will be open for more tours. And for more information, go to https://aurora.in.us. And with that, we've come to the end of our time. This is Lori Richards, and I have been reading this week's Dearborn County Register. Everyone have a wonderful day.